Good morning and welcome to the radio show, Seeing with the Eyes of Love, Seeing Through the Eyes of Love, or both. I am looking for Sherry on the queue. Good morning, Sherry.
Yes, here I am.
I couldn't find you. I had to search
a long list of...
Yes. Okay, shall we start off with our passage?
Yes, please.
So this is from David Hawking. The common element of most fears is that they are based on the illusion that happiness is dependent on externals and therefore vulnerable. The thought, I can only be happy if I win or get what I want, is a guarantee of worry, anxiety, and unhappiness. Cessation of fear is the result of learning that the source of happiness and joy is from within.
Would you read it again?
The common element of most fears is that they're based on the illusion that happiness is dependent on externals and therefore vulnerable. The thought, I can only be happy if I win or get what I want, is a guarantee of worry, anxiety, and unhappiness. Cessation of fear is the result of learning that the source of happiness and joy is from within. It's so
very true.
So very true, and it's what we are, what we do in practice, the seeking the unconditional.
Yes, and again, as we're required to be exploring now, that can seem quite manageable when things are going well for us, when we're when we're getting what we want. it seems really, really kind of simple and straightforward. And then in those times when we feel like we're not getting at all what we want, it's much trickier.
Yes, it almost means that you have to dig deep. You have to face those fears, and you have to examine them in order to reach those places of the unconditional. It's almost as if there's a, I wouldn't say test, so it won't be misunderstood, but that's where we're called upon to seek it.
Yes, and to realize that the fear is a layer over the unconditional. The way it seems in terms of human psychology is that fear is the deepest level, because for most folks, we hit fear and start running in the other direction. So a big part of awareness practice is, first of all, being willing to accept, at least intellectually, that fear is a layer that is covering the unconditional. It's between what we are aware of in a conditioned orientation and the unconditional. So first, you know, the first thing is, okay, everybody says that that's the case, so I'm gonna stick with this fear, see what it really is. Now, what we get to see, of course, as we do that, is that it is what we are seeking that is enabling us to do that. So the courage that we find to stick with the fear and get to the other side of it is the other side of it. But we don't recognize that immediately.
So that which is seeking to see through the fear, despite that which is seeking to see through the fear, is what we discover on the other side of the fear. It's just that we didn't know it before we went through it.
That's right. So it is what is causing us to want to get past the fear, and it is the courage to get past the fear. So we're already in everything we are seeking
as we just indicated, we just don't know it yet. We don't recognize it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and no wonder there is so much encouragement, within quotes, from the conditioned system to focus on the externals as the source of the focus,
yes,
instead
the
of going beyond the fear.
Yeah, the source of our well-being is external. And then when the externals don't line up, well, we're just sunk. But of course, what this quote is pointing at is that's never been the case. It never the case. Even when we believe it's the case, it's still not the case.
Yeah, that's so profound. Even when we believe that's the case, it's not the case. And it's such a huge deflection so that we don't actually turn around and face the fear and recognize the truth.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, here's our first caller.
All right. Thank you.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Hi. So I think my experience of what you're talking about, my experience is a relaxing in a way into the fear, or relaxing around the fear and noticing that it can't get me, it doesn't kill me. And then it's like something like that. And I think the reason that I would relax around the fear to just let it go in a way, I guess, is because I really enjoy happiness. I really enjoy being happy. And I think to some degree that assists me to choose that.
Yes.
Choose happiness.
Yes. Yes. So what you're pointing at is really important. The fear can only get us if we let it. Right? So there's that, and we turn our attention to it, and that whole system is lined up to make this a horror story, right? They're just, whatever it is, they're just endless stories of how awful it is and how awful it's going to be, and oh my God, and there's nothing to be, and hopelessness and despair and gloom and doom, and we can go to that place anytime. It's always available, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or we can choose something else. We can put our attention somewhere else, and that story will remain there, but it doesn't have us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my story.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I just mention one thing that happened just recently?
Sure.
And that is... I guess I think I'm just seeing the process of how I am dealing with stuff, and it seems like at the beginning I have hope, I guess, and then I'm losing the thread of what I was going to say. Well, I'll just tell you what happened, which is, for many days, I haven't been listening to the news, and I ventured out to listen to some news this weekend, and it made me cry. It's too much in a way. I think for whoever was listening, it was a lot. It was a lot to take in that, oh my gosh, this doesn't sound good. This is, and so there's this process of, I'm going to keep myself safe or just not listen to that stuff. And then, well, what's going on? And then I listen. And then I guess to want to retreat again.
Yes. Well,
from it.
And what you're saying, Christine, I think is really important for all of us.
Because in the world of duality, that seems like the way to go. Okay? Mm-hmm. So if I know that I can be in, you know, in Zen, what you're describing is called quietism. I realize that I really love to meditate. And so I just find a cave or a blank white wall, and I just sit down in front of it, and I bliss out for the rest of my life. And it has a label because it's not a good idea. It's not what we're going for. It's not that different from just taking drugs, because that's another way not to have to deal with what's going on. And the awareness practice that we do is aimed at facing squarely everything that's going on and realizing what we're talking about here, that the unconditional is the ground of being. It is what we are authentically. And it is realizing that, and again, there must be another word. I'll ask this morning when we get off the call, but when we identify ourselves, when we disappear into that ground of being, then whatever is going on is not what is determining our experience. But that's not the same as escaping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because what we're doing is going through, not attempting to go around.
Yeah.
One of the points that, you know, that we, one of the things we talk about in practice all the time is getting involved. And again, the reason that I wanted, that I said yes to Brother John when he invited us to Cantalomba is because it is so easy for privileged people to simply go unconscious and lead a comfortable life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not helpful, right? That is, and I mean people who would come to awareness practice and still be tempted to live just a comfortable, privileged life, never facing anything because you don't have to, right? Because you're never hungry because, you know, if you cut your finger, you go to urgent care. You know, there's never anything to face, and we need to face things if we're actually going to be free, right? So back to you, right? So yes, there is taking that time to kind of accept the shock of the experience. Right, which is what you're describing. You know, there's the oh my God, and so we kind of it's like losing a loved one. You know, you've had a death close in your family, and it's a shock. Your whole life is suddenly different in a split second, and the system has to cope with that, has to adjust to that. It just does. I mean, unless you're Jesus or the Buddha. It's going to be something to deal with, right? And so we do that process, and we pay attention. We watch carefully, and we find as much compassion and loving kindness and all of that. And then as the system begins to adjust to it, it is, and now how do I want to benefit from this? How do I want to use this in order to end suffering? Because that's the gift that every life experience brings to us. It's an opportunity for us to move away from suffering, not move away from pain, not close down, not become hard-hearted, not escape, but to begin to embrace everything that comes to us as a way to end suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just not clear. Well,
I don't know what to do. And I know that's a conditioned response.
Next.
Yeah.
That's where we're going next. Because what conditioned mind, what ego wants to do, as with the reading, is focus on the fear. Okay, so you watch the news and you go, oh my God, this is my worst nightmare come true. Okay, and that system kicks in again, right? But all of that stuff has always existed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about you specifically, okay? All that stuff has always existed for as long as there have been human beings, but you never had to face it.
Yeah.
Yeah? And that's all that's happened. And every one of us listening here, all right, that's all that has happened. This has never happened to me. Okay? And that's what makes it compelling at this point. So what we have the choice to do here is to find the way to choose love in an experience that we would never have chosen.
Yeah.
So, Ashwini and I were looking at things this morning, because we do, in order to find the quotes and that sort of thing for what we're going to talk about. And the story that came up again that most folks are familiar with, but it's a great story anyway, is Francis of Assisi. And he was a privileged little cutie pie who just chased girls and drank wine and lived the good Italian life. And until he began to feel a spiritual calling. And while he was this privileged young chap, he avoided lepers. He would go miles out of his way in order never to encounter a leper. And one day he was somewhere, and he's partway, he's like us, he's partway along the spiritual journey. He feels the call, but he doesn't really have the reserves. And a leper comes up to him and reaches out his maimed hand asking for alms. And Francis is completely repelled. He's just disgusted. He's sick at his stomach. He's so repelled by the sight of this creature. And he throws some coins at him, and he turns to run off, and suddenly, suddenly, he sees that leper as Jesus.
Mm.
And he turns around, and he goes back, and he kisses him. And that was the point at which Francis moved beyond the fear to the unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're all up against in whatever form it comes to us in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So can we know what's going on in the world and choose love? Now, I'm not the person who says, and so what you need to do is find the person who most represents everything you wish were not happening in this world, and then you're going to devote yourself to loving that person unconditionally. Okay? That would be a great ego contest.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have as an alternative to that is to find the places where you can love. Who are the people you want to support, you want to help? What's the difference that you want to make? And you find deeper and deeper and deeper reservoirs of love, and you pour them. You pour all of that love into expressions
of goodness as you see it. And that becomes the whole focus of your day. Every day. You go to bed at night, and your last thought is for the next day and what you're going to be able to bring love to.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
That's great. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Christine. Take care.
Yeah, I feel better.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you, Christine.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You know, Sherry, that was so powerful because I think what you're saying is it's easy to find love when the circumstances are going your way. But when the circumstances are not going your way, what you're required to do is to find love anyway.
Yes.
And that actually shows you how that source of love is independent of circumstances. And it's not loving objects. It's being able to be in the process of love, which means you find the objects that you can pour your love into and stay in love no matter what the externals are, which really, really underline the spiritual quest of love is unconditional because it's not based on circumstances, and you can actually experience that when the circumstances are not going your way. And that's simply what we do.
Yes, and what I saw when you said that is instead of loving objects, which, again, it's easy to do when we're surrounded by objects we love. You know, we've got our family we love, we've got our friends we love, we've got our work we love, we've got our, you know, whatever it is that we love. But what I saw when you said that is what we're really doing is loving love.
Yes.
That's the bottom line that we're learning to do, is to love love. It's that thing, I don't know where it came from or who introduced the notion, but being grateful for being grateful.
Yeah.
You know, there's being grateful for stuff, for circumstances, but to be grateful that you're a person who feels gratitude.
It's funny. It's funny because what that conversation that you just had with Christine was another quote we were looking at. And if I may, it so well summarizes what we were talking about. The offset of loss to the spiritual devotee is the realization that loss represents an opportunity for greater freedom. An attachment is a tie and a fetter of the ego. Although the relinquishment initially feels like an emotional stress, there awakens the realization that the bondage would have had to be surrendered to God in due time in the process of letting go the illusion that the source of happiness is external.
Yes. Yeah. So if I'm understanding that one, we're going to let go of all of it eventually.
Yes.
Right? And so we can either make ourselves miserable clinging to attachments of how I wish it were and what I want and how I like it to be and that sort of thing, or we can just say, what the heck? It's going to go anyway. Let's go. Let's let it go now, which, again, in that moment, we have everything that we're seeking because we can only do that by choosing love over clinging.
Yeah. And it's a process.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for most of us, it certainly is. I mean, you know, Francis was truly blessed in that moment. I mean, he wasn't running away thinking, you know, I really should go back and kiss that guy. I really should get over my disgust. That's really egocentric. No, just in a flash, he saw that leper as Jesus. Wow. I mean, don't we all wish for a moment like that? Mm-hmm. And we can prepare ourselves for those moments by saying yes in every opportunity that we're given. Choose love, choose love, choose love, choose love, choose love. I don't feel like it. Choose love. I don't want to. Choose love. It's too hard. I choose love.
Well, and in that particular conversation, that the emotion that comes up is really deep caring, right? That's underneath the emotion. And we don't get to be present to that if we want to avoid it or we feel like we can't stand it.
Yes, yes, yes. So to connect that up, when we look at a political situation, say, that frightens us, what is underneath, what we're not able to be in touch with when we stay with the fear is the love, the deep level of caring that says, but this could happen, and this will happen, and this will happen, and these people will suffer, and right? And so not being in touch with that, we suffer doubly, right? We suffer from the fear that ego is imposing, and then we suffer with being disconnected from the authenticity, the love that is our true nature.
Yeah. Sherry, we have 3 more minutes. Shall I bring on another caller?
Oh, what the heck.
We'll
yes,
be
okay,
back.
Let's go for it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rita.
Hey, Rita.
Hi.
We have three minutes.
Yes, I was just going to say, I just, everything in my body just shook when the last conversation. It was so great and so perfect for right now. And I was thinking, you were saying not to go into quietism, and I was thinking, to me, that kind of correlates with the word celibate in a way. And I always see the opposite of that as celebrate. And I kind of see the R representing just relax into life and know that life is always there and to be in love with life.
Yes.
Which goes
yes.
with I, David I, Hawking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure I would go with we have the capacity on this in this particular conversation to address the issue of celibacy. As because there's nothing there is no content. There is no content that automatically results in separation. The separation is something that we bring to anything. So we know that people can be celibate as a way of connecting with all of life, and we know that people can be very sexual as a way of being disconnected from all of life. So.
Right.
You know, that content versus process thing. But I love the connection that you made with celebrate. And because love and life is a joyful experience. And it's only when we head off into the fear of ego that we lose our ability to celebrate all of life.
Yes, and I meant celibate in the sense of reclining, you know, of removing yourself, of hiding in a cave, not so far as sexual and all that intent with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I understand what you're saying, and I really, this conversation, I'm going to listen to it over and over. There's a lot of daily peace quotes in there. So, thank you so much for it. It was beautiful today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take good care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry, and I'll see you tomorrow on the call.
All right, and thanks, everybody. Take good care of yourselves. Have a loving day.
Mm-hmm.